Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is 9:09. A motion has been put before the committee. It has been seconded that we suspend all serious talk and move on this Friday, June 2nd in the 9 o'clock hour to talking about food and drink with Ian McNulty. We have a quorum present. We have Tim Zimmer, Tommy Tucker, Ian McNulty. All in favor of the resolution, aye. Aye.
I object most strenuously to the characterization of food and drink in New Orleans and Louisiana as not serious.
You, sir, record, are out of order. You are not following parliamentary. Yeah, you can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the boudin.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I can, actually. Yeah, so we're going to do that. Look, we're talking eating and drinking. It's been a serious week. We didn't have Monday off. We worked. So we're going to talk about eating and drinking with Ian McNulty. If y'all have any questions at all about where to eat, where to drink, where to get a good cocktail, where to get a good piece of boudin, where to get a good piece of boudin and get a good cocktail, 504-260-1870, and he will help us out. How you doing, Ian McNulty?
Tommy, I'm doing great. It's been a short week, you're right.
Been a long week. I worked Monday. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, for not for you, Tommy, but but a lot of food and restaurant stuff. On today's menu, so many things we can talk about, including a...
Don't start this phone trouble. No. Hang on. Don't start this phone trouble again. Don't you do it.
Don't you do it. All right, Tommy. We're talking about a Chinese buffet in Metairie with robot waiters. We can talk about a wine festival coming back next week with major changes across the board.
Yeah.
We can talk about the Cajun Country meat run that I made recently. It just wrote up today for a Cajun butcher shop oddity called Ponce. Mm-hmm. And many other various and sundry restaurant news items around. Lots on the menu.
Here's where I want to start, because I've seen a lot of stuff about this on social media. This steakhouse that I think is going in Metairie, is that where they're building it? And it's something about gold on the steaks or something? What's going on with that?
Right. No, we're talking about Gaia. This is a new steakhouse that is taking shape as we speak. It's actually going to be on St. Charles Avenue.
That's right, yeah.
Yep. Often confused with Metairie. I see that all the time. And
all right, smart guy. It's where Estrella used to be, correct? Or not?
It's nearby. It's near that. It's across the street, and it's going into the spot that used to be Melting Pot. Is a restaurant that, you know, probably would have done better in Metairie, let's face it.
That's exactly right.
The Melting Pot had been around for a long time. It was a fondue place, closed in 2018. That address has been vacant in the 5 years since. But now, very quietly, I mean, you can drive by there and not really see a trace of it. There is the steakhouse taking shape that is promising to be something very different for New Orleans. And quite the spectacle, in fact. So you're not wrong about the gold-coated steaks. That is something they have on their menu. Now, I stress this restaurant is not open yet, Gaia Steakhouse, but this idea of a gold-covered steak is something that did catch on in other cities. There are restaurants serving this in a very similar style, typically in more like your Vegas, Dallas, Miami. It's it literally is a steak, a high-end steak, typically a Wagyu cut, completely coated in gold leaf. Now, I've had bits of gold in some dishes before. I've had little strands of gold leaf on some certain sushi dishes. I've had it on a couple desserts, and I can tell you from that experience, it does not change the flavor nor the texture of the dish, but adds this undeniable panache, you know, if that's what you're after. It's flair for sure. And this place, this trend, for if you can call it that, is taking it to this whole other level because they are coating an entire steak with gold leaf, and these steaks will individually cost hundreds of dollars. The pricing at this restaurant has not quite been set yet, I'm told, but if you look at other markets where this is available, you're talking anywhere from $300 northward to more than I paid for one of my first used cars for a steak. And that is
I gotta say, it just seems
attention point for this place.
It just seems stupid and a waste of everything. I'm just gonna say it.
And if I told you that it has a high appeal with celebrities and the fabulously wealthy and the people who for whom money is no expense, but conspicuous consumption is a very determined purpose, you might not be shocked to learn that this has caught on.
Is this a chain thing, Ian, or independently owned, or what?
This one that we're talking about, Gaia Steakhouse, is an independent restaurant, but the restaurateur behind it has experience working with this chain that has steakhouses doing this style across the world. And now I hasten that, and when I talked to this guy, the restaurateur behind it, named Murat, he said, look, this is something that we do. It's proven popular in other places, and it's not all we do. We don't push these gold-covered steaks on people. The rest of the menu is quite lengthy, and actually it looks really compelling. He's bringing in seafood that we don't typically see around here. It's going to be, you know, high-end cuts of steak, Peking duck, roasted chicken, whole fish, what looked like really nice appetizers. So, you know, you put gold-covered steaks on your menu. That is what people are talking about. I am withholding judgment until I see the place actually open and what they're doing with the food outside of that realm or within it. I mean, he said this is going to be a high entertainment value restaurant with a bit of Vegas style. So he truly acknowledges and is motivated to do something different than New Orleans has. So.
And let me say this. I look, this is America. If you got the money and you earned it, spend your money on whatever you want. I don't care if there's a market for it. Spend it on that. I don't care if people want that. That's fine. It's America. I got no issues with any of that at all. I just think it's kind of silly. But that's just me, right?
Well, the value proposition of dining out, we can talk about. We can devote a week long series to that because that's a really interesting notion of why you're spending this amount of money on what you get out of it, and the value proposition changes. You know, the reason some people buy Louis Vuitton bags instead of walking around with all their possessions in a rolled up Dorniak bag, which is frankly my style. But on the other side of the value
luggage, it's luggage. What are you talking about?
Well, you know, I travel light, Tommy.
Yeah,
I travel
light. tell me about this. Well, I just wanted to move on, if we can, to the Chinese robot thing, because it looks like not just a gimmick with the robots, but it looks like for a Chinese buffet, I'm normally not a buffet guy, but it looks like the food's pretty good.
Food is excellent. Okay, so this is called Crazy Hot Pot, and this is the opposite end of that value spectrum, because yes, this is an all-you-can-eat buffet, and it's not the Chinese buffet that you're thinking of. This is not your standard, a Chinese restaurant menu laid out in buffet form. This is specifically a hot pot restaurant. Now, hot pot is this very deep-running tradition in China, and what it is basically a bubbling pot of broth. It's brought from the kitchen to your table. You have basically a cooking pot in front of you, and the tables are fitted with these induction heaters. So these pots go into these little receptacles, and you have a digital control underneath it, and you control the heat, and you get that hot pot bubbling away, And then you dunk into it all these different items of food that you've collected from the buffet, which is this really just sprawling palette of different foods from, you know, this raw meat, just shaved thin and rolled up, the whole freezer of this stuff. Pick out your meat, and this cooks within seconds in the broth. We've all seen, like, soups that arrive with rare beef in it and how fast it turns into cooked beef. But that's just the tip of the buffet iceberg. There's all sorts of seafood, you know, squid, whole shrimp, halved blue crabs, hunks of fish, all kinds of vegetables, at least six or seven different types of tofu, fish balls, you know, these dumplings made out of shellfish and fish and, you know, the mystery meat of the sea, more conventional dumplings, all kinds of noodles, vegetables galore, mushrooms. It goes on and on, Tommy. And so that's the fun of it. And yes, the robot waiter.
So you're getting it raw off of the bar is what you're doing? And then you're cooking it?
Most of it's raw. Yeah, most of it's raw. Some of it's cooked and you're heating it through. Most of it is raw. And yeah, you dunk it into this bubbling pot of flavorful broth at your table, and you know that transforms it. And you have these various sauces that you can dip it in. There's an entire sauce room. You know, if anything has been missing in my life, Tommy, it may be a sauce room. But yeah. Crazy Hot Pot has one. And about those waiters, so the place is not replaced human beings with robots. Let me stress that. Verifiably human waiters do run the show. But after they take your order, they ask you what type of appetizers you want. All the appetizers are included in this price, by the way, mm-hmm. of this buffet. And so all these appetizers are cooked and they come from the kitchen and they're delivered from the kitchen via these robots that look like these rolling bookcases with all these different shelves on which they can hold the appetizers. And they roll up to your table. They're programmed to sort of scoot around the restaurant in a little grid. And they come up to table 9, whatever they're programmed to do. And you take your dumplings and your sesame balls and your scallion pancakes off of the robot waiter's tray, and you begin feasting. And highly entertaining. Kids seem to love it, as they say. And, you know, to me, very compelling, very interesting, sort of like being in an anime cartoon come to life, this whole place. There's even karaoke rooms upstairs. It's just a lot of fun, even if, yes, in my write-up, I did stress the impending doom for all of humanity that is embodied in the digital eyes of these robots, because I can definitely foresee the day when they stop delivering egg rolls and start shooting death rays out of those eye apertures and just crush all of mankind. Yeah, I followed the science, Tommy.
Yeah, science fiction, perhaps,
but I follow the science.
But just to be clear, that's not happening at this restaurant.
Let's just be clear about that.
There are no death rays involved.
No death rays. No, they don't even shoot, like, you know, reheat waves out of those eyes. They just bring you your appetizers, and then the rest of it is on you to go back and refill your trays. And it's an all you can eat proposition, and it's just different with not just from other restaurants. I mean, the course of the meal is different by how you chart it. It's a choose your own adventure kind of thing, and that's why I found it so much fun. I've gone there a couple of times. It is really fun. It's delicious. It's exuberant. It's a little wild. There's a factor of chaos kind of built into it all, because it's all you can eat. It's a buffet. You're looking at these food items. You're not sure what half of them are, but you're going to try them. And, you know, other people I've talked to at the restaurant, they say, you know, these are people who do not come from the Chinese hot pot tradition, which I stress again is a very deeply traditional thing for many Chinese people back in China. And it is a hit. I mean, people who from far outside that tradition tell me it's like a once-a-week rotation for them. They love it. So Crazy Hot Pot in Metairie, it definitely was up to the name in all those ways. Crazy and hot and pot.
There's a comedic bit that I'm not going to go into right now, but it involves being at a buffet for 4 hours, and you can't do that here because apparently there is a time limit involved.
There is a 90-minute time limit. So, yeah, all you can eat. Perhaps what you should eat, it may be the term that you should have in your mind when going after these things. 90 minutes is plenty of time to be dunking and dipping and dabbing over there. And this, you know, buffets need rules, right? You know, highways have guardrails. And one of those is the time limit. And also, if you haul back a grocery cart full of food and you decide, I don't want to eat this stuff after all, you wasting it. They'll have to go in the garbage because you brought it to your table. So they will charge you for that. There is an extra charge. So, you know, order, but order carefully. You know, it's like my dad used to say, as we were going through any kind of, you know, fill your own plate situation at home, take what you want, but eat what you take. So yes. That's the guiding principle there. And that's probably solid advice in most cases.
I'm a reformed buffet guy, and I know sometimes I used to go and think that the idea was to cram as much food into your gullet as you possibly could to the point of being uncomfortable and almost even sick, because by God, I'm going to get my money's worth. And that's not really the idea, is it, Ian?
No, it's not. And actually, the reason that I like it, this is not Tommy versus the buffet. No,
That's the point. It's not a competition.
Yeah. Right.
And sometimes you go to a buffet and you see people, it's like a competitive thing where they're not enjoying what they're eating. They're watching what's coming out of the kitchen to see if, oh, look, they put this out. Let's go get some of that. Well, you're still chewing what you're eating now.
We all remember ponchos, many of us, for very much scenes like that. The reason that I like the buffet setup at Crazy Hot Pot is for the experimentation factor of it. And it's, you know, it's all these different food items. Some of them are quite unfamiliar, you know, and the buffet lets you kind of choose with your eyes first. And then, you know, you load up a plate and you try different things. You're not having a pound of meat via the pot. You're having a bit of meat, a bit of squid, a bit of tofu, some mushrooms. See how the crab legs go with it. You know, that sort of thing.
All right. So let's take a break. We'll pick it up here. It's on Turnbull and Metairie. It's called the Hot Pot. Yep. No, Crazy Hot Pot?
Crazy Hot Pot.
Then they have a picture in Ian's story of a pig that would resemble me without a shirt a couple of months ago. 9:25. Let's take a break. If you got any questions about eating or drinking, 504-260-1870. Somebody mentioned, you mentioned ponchos, and somebody texted in about Mexican buffets, so we'll talk about that when we come back. And since Ian started with buffets, if you have any questions about them, 504-260-1870. Tommy Tucker, this is my favorite hour of the week with Ian McNulty, and he's with us for the entire hour today. Back in a flash, WWL. 9:30, talking to Ian McNulty for the entire hour, who covers food and dining culture for the Times Speaking You, New Orleans Advocate. We've already talked about the Crazy Hot Pot, which sounds like fun for the family. That'd be a nice place to take the fam, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, in fact, I made that kids seem to love it line earlier. They do. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you know, dipping squid and mushrooms into boiling broth is exactly a kid kind of thing, but you know, you got to raise them right. It's an adventure, and the restaurant is set up in a really fun way. There's all sorts of statues of characters from Chinese history and cartoons, and I mean, there's robots that are scooting around the whole dining room floor the whole time. I mean, come on, that's entertainment.
You also talked about a restaurant named Gautreaux's, and I'm looking at duck confit on top of lentils. It's similar to a dish I had at Couvent, the restaurant in Eliza Jane. Sure. I ate it, I enjoyed it, but I'm not quite sure what duck confit is. It's like, what is it? It was good.
It means basically in fat, with fat. Confit is basically implying that the item, in this case duck, was cooked with its own fat. And that's a good thing. Fat is a good thing. And you, what you get is, in that case, the classic duck confit, which is an excellent representation there at Gautreaux's, is this almost cracklin-like surface of the skin with very tender, moist meat within. And, that's the duck leg, which is just when it goes through the confit process, just fantastic. But you can confit just about anything that'll hold still long enough. but that's what that term's all about. But yes, I love that you brought that up, Tommy, because that in a week of covering New Orleans food, we're talking about an all-you-can-eat Chinese hot pot buffet in Metairie, and then what is, you know, one of the finest fine dining restaurants in the city, Gautreaux's, all but hidden on a leafy uptown side street. And that's just that's the way New Orleans eats, you know. It's the thrill of the new and unexpected, and it's the comfort of places that have just been maintaining these high standards and doing this refined service for a long time, and that's kind of the joy of dining around here. But yeah, Gautreaux's that was a place that I hadn't been to in too long. It just kind of popped into my mind. I haven't been here, and you know, I was counting it like, oh God, has it been over maybe since COVID? Mm-hmm. Just one of those real realizations that we all have now on the other side of this thing. And going back there, it just felt like slotting back into the same seat that I had been in before, the same setting, the same service and hospitality. Even though the chefs are different now, the place has a house style and standard, and it's always very compelling, very, very well done. And it's one of those, if you ever think fine dining is you know, losing its step amongst all the other trends, you go to a place like that and you see it's just doing fine. I mean, on a Tuesday night, the place was packed. Everyone looked like, you know, they were dressed for the occasion, like they had just closed a business deal or were meeting the in-laws for the first time, the future in-laws for the first time. It was that kind of a setting, and you just think, wow, okay, this is all quietly buzzing along here on this side street uptown at a restaurant that does not even have a sign out front, with no indication whatsoever that there's a restaurant behind those frosty glass doors. So it's quite the revelation and nice, refreshing visit to Gautreaux's.
You know, I was eating at Tommy's one night, and I may or may not have had too much wine, and I might have picked a wine off of the and it's a true story. A $300 of Meritage, I think is what they got, a wine? And I had to, I gave the guy the money because I didn't realize I had stiffed him for a $300 bottle of wine, but I was asking about duck and the wings, and the waiter said the duck doesn't have any wings, and I said, well, then how does it fly? You don't eat duck wings, or what's going on with that? What happens with duck?
Yeah, I eat duck wings. Yeah, absolutely duck wings. Okay. That was actually, Demerl had made a special out of duck wings for a long time, no longer on the menu there, but yeah, for a while, you went to Emeralds, you get this plate of duck wings. And of course, ducks have wings. I don't know what he was talking about. Now, it's typically not, when you order a duck at a restaurant, you're typically not getting the duck wing. I mean, it's one of those things of processing where, certain parts of the animal go to certain markets. Yeah. And, there was a time not that long ago, this is before my time, but I'm told, you know, chicken wings weren't really a thing. And then suddenly they kind of burst onto the scene and everyone was eating chicken wings. What happened to the chicken wings before they got popular? They went to a different market where people liked them, somewhere overseas. But, you know, America developed a taste for them. So stick to your guns there, Tommy. We can bring back the duck wing.
I mean, I came back with it instantly. What do you mean they don't have wings? They don't walk south in the winter. What? They don't take a greyhound. Let's talk about Mexican buffet. Somebody's looking for a Mexican buffet. Are there any more? You brought up ponchos.
Yeah, I did, and that was a blast from the past. And if there is one out there, I would like to hear about it, because to my knowledge, no, I can't think of any that are still going. There was one called Dos Amigos in Kenner that was trying to revive that whole thing. But I believe they closed a couple of years ago. So,
all right, we've got a little phone issue. We'll take a break, rectify it with Ian McNulty. Somebody texted in, where can I find the best old-fashioned cocktail in the city? I'm a huge fan of old-fashions. They got to be served with that big chunk of ice, though, not little bitty bits of ice. If they do that, don't get it, because it's going to ruin a drink, in my opinion. More with Ian when we come back, 504-260-1870. If you got any eating, drinking questions, we'll take a break for traffic now on WWL. 9:43, 17 before 10, back with our friend Ian McNulty, spending an hour with him today on Friday, as we do in a 9 o'clock hour, talking about eating and drinking. We'll get back to some of the places he's been in a little bit. Somebody's looking for the best old-fashioned in town. Where would you suggest?
I would start off with this bar called Revel. It's a cocktail lounge in Mid-City on North Carrollton, right across from Venezia. Andrew Bricado's over there.
Is that where what's the place used to be? I'm trying to think of it. 123. What was the name of the restaurant that was there?
Oh, Rue 120, yeah. 127, I think is what you're thinking.
Same place.
That restaurant is next door, right next door. That restaurant
that was a good restaurant.
Zazu. Yes, it was. That's Ray Gretzky's restaurant. He now runs Fry Smoked Meat Company nearby. Very different spot, but he's doing great with that. Yep. That location, 127 North Carrollton, is now Zazu, which is a fantastic jewel box of a bistro. Highly recommend Susan Mannix's restaurant there. But the place I was mentioning was Revel. That's right next door on the same block there. And Wits Inn is its other neighbor. And it is a almost a purely cocktail lounge. There's some other things there, but you're going there for cocktails, and they make a masterful old-fashioned. And while I'm spouting these things, look for a really good example at Barrel Proof in the Lower Garden District on Magazine Street, and they do a really nice house old-fashioned as their happy hour drink. I think it's $6, something like that.
The big block of ice.
It's for something completely different. You say old-fashioned, I do think Mandina's, because that is the house drink there, and you can get the Miss Hilda's with a splash of rum, overproof rum, over the top. So
really?
Interesting. Yeah.
I'll bet that's good.
That's the house style.
And what is it called?
Style there, Mandina's. Well, it's the Miss Hilda's old-fashioned, and it's named after Hilda Mandina, the former matriarch, late and missed by the Mandina's family. And the story goes that she was the salad lady. She lived upstairs. She made the salads. And then after her shift, she wanted just one cocktail, but it was a cocktail that counted as several because of how strong they made it with that floater of rum over the top.
But that is the small pieces of ice, right, I think?
That's small pieces of ice, right. So now, for your classic, what your listener's looking for, I would start with Revel and use Barrel Proof over in Lower Garden District as a good alternative.
Well, somebody else texted in about Revel on Carrollton Mid-City, so apparently you're right on that. Somebody else said Winston's.
Winston's, yeah, that's good. Okay, I don't know what their ice situation is these days, but that's the nice pub on Metairie Road right by the tracks. Kind of a good sleeper find right there.
That's a first world problem, of course, if you're talking about big chunks of ice and you're old fashioned. I realize that.
I'd like to see the ice sommelier, please. Let me talk
yes,
to your
exactly.
ice expert.
All right, so somebody wants to know, since we're talking about wings, who's got the best buffalo wings in town?
I tell you what, I just had some fantastic wings this week at the Backyard in Lakeview. Mm-hmm. This is a place I don't want to talk about it too much today because I think you and I will be talking about it next week perhaps. We've got a story coming out on them soon. But they were fantastic. They were smoked wings, then dunked into the fryer with some blue cheese sauce on the side. It was a full pound order of them. I love the wings while we're on that. The smoked wings at Blue Oak Barbecue over also on Carrollton Avenue. They do some great ones. And I got to admit, I'm still a sucker for the old-fashioned bar buffalo wings at Fat Harry's. Mm-hmm. And they do a special on them one night a week. I want to say it's Monday, maybe sync up a Monday Night Football in the season with that. But there's nothing gourmet about them. They're on the smaller side. But man, they're delicious with that buttery, tangy sauce, and it's just perfect bar food. And different cravings even within the realm of something as simple as that.
How about this? It was roughly the shape of a football, too, if a little smaller. But this was no pig skin. In fact, it was a pig stomach stuffed with sausage and smoked. I quote your article. Tell me what all that's about.
That, my friend, is Ponce. And Ponce is one of the wonders of the Cajun butcher shop. And it is a pig stomach that has been stuffed with sausage and smoked. And I have a story just up on NOLA.com today. It'll be in the print edition on Sunday. Actually, it's running in the Acadiana paper, the Baton Rouge paper, and the New Orleans paper, because that's how broad I think the appeal of Ponce should be. Ponce is... this whole thing got started, Tommy, because I was talking Cajun meats and more offal and oddities, and shouldn't we be eating everything that we can and turn so many parts of the animal into delicious things? Your duckling example is right on point here. And the person I was talking to had never heard of Ponce.
I'd never heard of it.
Heard of haggis. She'd certainly heard of haggis. Yeah. And so, yeah, haggis is the lamb stomach. Big in Scotland, and so but as want to happen in Louisiana, so we started talking about food, and suddenly we had a road trip on our hands, and I had made some inquiries with some friends out in Acadiana, and suddenly we had co-collaborators, maybe co-conspirators, and then there was this whole little team of us that spent a day barnstorming through the Cajun prairie, going from one butcher shop to the next, collecting these ponces, which are found at all of these butcher shops.
You poor bastard. You got a terrible life. Do you hear this, Tim? Do you hear what he's got to go through? That's, wow. God bless you, man. God bless you, man. You're being my prayers. That's just an awful way to make a living. Just terrible.
We talked about boudin and cracklin. These are some of the marquee items at these butcher shops. But if you delve a little deeper into them, there's all kinds of stuff. And ponce is one of them. It's usually hidden somewhere in the specialty meat section or the stuffed meat sections. God, I love Cajun butcher shops. And it is this thing that is deeply imbued in Cajun food traditions. It's mostly a family dish. I have yet to find the restaurant that serves it. Someone must. There must be a plate lunch place somewhere around Lafayette that's doing it, or Ville Platte or Opelousas. But what I've been educated on by the far more connected Cajun food aficionados that I toured with, they. You know, it's a family tradition. It's something that's on the holiday tables or special occasion table. And, you know, it's a slow cooker kind of thing. You don't just go in and, you know, it's not like grabbing a link of boudin. You you get this, you know, like I said, football sized and shaped item and commence the slow cooking it. And, Tommy, I stopped at, I think we stopped at 10 butcher shops total. And so we ended up with an ice chest filled with stuffed smoked pig stomachs. But romping around the Cajun prairie with all these things on ice as if we were transplanting organs, you know, for desperate, speedy delivery. We need to get this to the doctor right away. The only place they were going, though, is our stomach, our very
soon-to-be-stuffed stomach. How do you cook it? Is it pre-cooked or not, or it's raw?
It's smoked, but yeah. You want to cook it. You want to cook it through. So this is, I mean, imagine the stomach.
Well, that's what sausage is, though. Sausage is intestine, right?
It's stuffed. Yeah, that's the casing. Yeah, mm-hmm. As we say, natural casing to put a little little civilization upon it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's different. You know, the texture of the stomach is different, and it's much bigger, and so it's sort of meatloaf sized. And the preparation. We were hanging with this guy, Toby Rodriguez. Some people might know him from he puts on these traditional boucheries, which are the hog slaughtering traditions that, you know, in the first place, give us cracklin and boudin and andouille and tasso and all these other meaty delights. Ponce is just a lower key part of that harvest of the butchering of the hog. And, you know, it's that use every bit of it kind of thing. And, yes, you do slow cook them. The way that Toby did it, you know, he browned it, then put it in the oven, then made a gravy, of course, cooked down with onions and peppers and tomatoes, cooked down to the point where they did not know they were tomatoes anymore. And then the ponce went back into that mix and absorbed all those flavors. And by the time it hit the table, several bottles of wine and beer cans later, we cut into it and it was just delicious. We just kind of wrapped it.
Do you slice this, or how does each person get their own ponce, or what?
Well, that's possible. Ponces come in all sizes. Uh-huh. You know, in that ice chest full of organ donor items, as it looked like. We had a little petite ponce that you know, was maybe a pound and a half. You know, maybe that's a. That's sort of a ponce you might split. We had others that were 5 pounds. You know, this is all meat, so you're sharing that with a few different people.
Can you slice it up? Can you get it anywhere here locally, Ian, or either that you cook yourself or that a restaurant serves?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you've got to travel for ponce. But yeah, once we crossed the Atchafalaya Basin, it was ponce on. You know, it was it was everywhere, and we dubbed it the Tour de Ponce. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, we considered ourselves lords of the ponce. You know, it was ponce here, ponce there, ponce everywhere.
All right, well, we're out of time, so we're gonna have to ponce.
Look it up, definitely, because this is
I've never heard of this, but I want to eat it, I'll tell you that.
It's good stuff. I foresee a revival. This could be a golden age of stuffed pig stomachs in New Orleans.
If somebody, I'm going to tell you, if a supermarket here were to pick that up, you know, they could sell a ton of them, don't you think?
They could sell a pallet for sure.
I think so.
I know there's interest. I distributed some of those, that ice chest full of donated organs, as we're calling it. I distributed that to a number of chefs around New Orleans, so they are. They're currently in the hands of chefs who know what to do. It's new for them, but they're really excited to get their hands on a sausage stuffed pig stomach because God bless chefs. And you know, I'm hoping to be a little Johnny Appleseed here on the pond.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get some people thinking about what to do with this on a menu.
P-O-N-C-E, right?
Well, that's one spelling of it. That's the standard I use. But as with so many things in Francophone Louisiana food terms, it doesn't just hold still on the plate for you.
I will read Ian's article.
Go
to NOLA.com, read Ian's article, and you know all about it. Thanks for bringing me one. Appreciate it, buddy. All right. We'll talk to you next week. Ian McNulty covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune New Orleans Advocate. Stay well.
Yeah, okay, you got it, Tommy. I'm going to go have an old-fashioned a little bit. You put it on my mind.
Always
great talking.
I'm going to try one with rum. Somebody texted that too. All right, 9:55, we'll find out what Noel Norman's got coming up for us next here on WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.